Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. I was informed by one of our internet listeners, but I do not thank you Sunday morning. I didn't praise you Sunday morning. No, I just got up and started reading jokes after you had played. And I got chastised for that. Yeah. Okay. Lila, good to see you tonight.
Good to be here.
Doing okay? Well, as we expected, all right. Let's see. Tonight, let's just begin with our prayers. How's Mom?
Still pretty good.
Good. Okay. How's your mother-in-law doing?
She's still alive.
Are you praying for something else?
Whoa! Let's don't get that way here. This is Bible class.
In the doghouse.
Yeah. Okay, let's be in prayer for Brian Wise. This is the month he should get a report back, so we need to be in prayer, Brian. Let's see. Continue to be in prayer for Cindy Edwards, and I'd like you to continue to be in prayer, even though you really may not know her, but Wanda Beach. So please be in prayer for her. Just remember, I found out the proper day for Joe being here be the Wednesday the 23rd. And I really hope that everyone could make an effort to come and hear him. I understand he's in the area, well, not really, but close as probably as he's going to get in his travelings, to his mother, so she's going to be with him and traveling a little bit, so we'll meet her that night. But just hope all of you and others will be able to make an effort to come Wednesday night. Be well worth your effort. let's see. I think of anything else we had.
Angie, Emily.
The reason I'm having trouble, I didn't know anything was wrong.
Well, she just got some personal things that she's going.
Oh, okay. All right. You were giving me the name, and
yeah,
then you tell me.
But you kept looking at me funny.
Well, I didn't relate her to anything we've been praying about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
yeah,
let's be. We're adding her.
Yeah.
We're adding her. Okay. All right. Yeah. Prayer.
Huh? Want to keep Lila?
No.
And Lila?
And Lila.
Yeah. Prepare for Lila. That's right. Introduced her and said that. Yeah. Let's see. Anybody else we need to be in prayer for? How's Nathan? You haven't been praising him or anything lately.
Nathan is doing very well.
All right. That's all. I don't want another 30 minutes.
Let me just read off.
I just happened to have a critique here if you want it. Yesterday morning at 8 o'clock. but he's doing good.
Doing good.
Good. Very well. Very good. Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer and get into our study on the Gog of Magog. Last week we took a break to do back to school, and I know that excited so many of you, you didn't even show up. You didn't figure that. It didn't apply to me. And so tonight we're back in Gog and Magog. So let's get ready for it in prayer. Let's pray. In a time, Heavenly Father, when so much of our beloved country is claiming that you do not exist, do not find this book authoritative in our judicial system, educational system, and looking more and more like it in our religious, spiritual system. But as we read it, Heavenly Father, we stand amazed at the consistency. Stand amazed at the flow of your message from Genesis 1:1, Job 1:1 to Revelation. It is beyond comprehension that one book written over so many hundreds of years, thousand years, be so consistent in your message to us. Father, we thank you that tonight we're looking at things that have yet to happen in history. Yet written thousands of years ago, Father, 2,500 years ago, it's still to happen. And we believe it. We know it will. We know we won't even be here, but the excitement of studying these things, to just see how much you're in control of all these things, Heavenly Father, just excites us to walk by faith. It excites us, Heavenly Father, to want to learn more and more from this book. So we pray, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes to things tonight that you would have us to see, to have an impact in our lives, in our marriages, in our church attendance, in our live work, in every area of our being, Father, that we have this calmness in soul, knowing that you are in control. We praise you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, verse 18. Let's just read through. We're up to the near the end, but let's just read through.
Are we in Revelation, Herman?
No, we're in Ezekiel 38. This is Gog and Magog night, I hope.
Well, yeah, but...
Because those are the notes that I bought. It's Gog and Magog. Romans is Sunday morning.
Yeah, I know, but sometimes you're in Revelation, then you go back. I'm trying to keep up with you.
So we're in Ezekiel 38. And we're near the end. But just to kind of get us into our going here. 38 answers the question, 18 answers the question of verse 17. Verse 17, thus says the Lord, are you the one whom I spoke in a former days, meaning way back now in Ezekiel time, through my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied in those days for many years that I would bring you, Gog, against them, the Jews. Okay, now, verse 18. And it will come about, absolute prophecy, on that day, there again we have it, the day of the Lord, when Gog comes against the land of Israel. Satan moving against the whole land of Israel, of the Jews, declares the Lord God that this is what is going to happen, that my fury will mount up in my anger. All right, my fury, and we studied fury, mounting up, his anger. Brings us to verse 19. And in my zeal, and in my blazing wrath, and we've been studying the wrath of God in Romans 1 through 4. In my zeal, King James says, in my jealousy, the zeal here, my blazing wrath, firing wrath. Wrath is an overflowing anger. We looked at a lot of verses there. I, God, declared that on that day there will be surely be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. We spent some time looking at earthquake and how God uses earthquake throughout, and then we looked at it in the book of Revelation. All right, that brings us to verse 20. And the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things will creep on earth. They creep on earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth, all God's creation, will shake at my presence. The mountains also will be thrown down, and that's the opening up of Jerusalem over to the Mediterranean. Steep pathways will collapse, even the wall will fall to the ground. All right, and then verse 21 now. This brings us to close to where we left off. Verse 21, and I shall call for a sword against him, Gog, and all my mountains. That's Jerusalem, around Jerusalem, declares the Lord. Now, if you recall, what's interesting here is God calling a sword. All right, who will be struck by these swords? His own army, that is, Gog's own army, are going to rebel against themselves because of the chaos, the confusion going on by what God is doing. Verse 22, and with pestilence, epidemic diseases, and we've seen just a little bit of how horrible that is, even in our own time. And with blood I shall enter into judgment, blood running through the valley of Armageddon with him, and I shall rain on him hail, storms, and tornadoes, and darkness, and on his troops, and the many peoples who are with him, a torrential rain with hailstones, fire, and brimstone. And at this point we looked at Zephaniah chapter 1 and Isaiah 2. Okay, final objective. We now move tonight to verse 23. Final objective. This is the last verse of the chapter. Had they only turned to the Lord, all these things would not have needed to come to pass. But they didn't. And I shall magnify myself, sanctify myself, make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord. Just look where you are. I will magnify myself, sanctify myself, make myself known, and they will know that I am the Lord. That does not mean they will believe in Jesus Christ. I want to make that clear. It just means that they will know that He is the Lord. Now, with verse 23 in mind, we've read it twice now. I'd like you to look back at verse 16 a moment. Look back at verse 16. And you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. That's how big the forces will be, the armies. It will come about in the last days that I shall bring you against my land in order that the nations may know me when I shall be sanctified through you before their eyes, O Gog. So this is God's objective. I just want you to see how close related verse 16 in the flow and now with verse 23 in the final. Okay. And I shall magnify myself. The King James has rendered the first particle more correctly. Thus. See, you have, and I will magnify myself. The King James hits it more correctly with the particle, the Hebrew particle, thus. In light of all that has just been revealed, this is how I will magnify myself. Okay, we have several things said about God here by Himself. Here we have the Hith-Pa-El perfect of Gadol. And Gadol looks like this. That's G-A-D-A-L. Gadol. The verb means to be great. Gadol. The word means to be great, to make great, to magnify. It carries the idea of becoming evident of all that He is. This is what Romans 1 is about. But this is becoming evident. It will be so evident. They have just said there is no God. They denied He's God. They're coming against His people. We can take the people. Look, they're ready for the taking. All this thing. And on that day, I will magnify. I will open the covering of how great I am. God will make Himself so well known. It will be obvious to everyone. Now, what's interesting here, and the reason I'm putting it on the board, is this is what is called the Hith-Pa-El. You know, Greek, well, first of all, it's a Western language. It reads from left to right. It's very orderly. It doesn't have that many tenses and things. But I just love the Hebrew. First of all, it reads from right to left, and it has so many stems. And it's so much fun to see what the ancient language did with all of this. One of the most interesting studies to challenge evolution is a study of language. Because you would think you would go in evolution from the most archaic language to most advanced. We'd be living in the most advanced languages, which we know is not true. But boy, you come back to these from 3000 down to 2000 BC, you have all of these things going on with the language. The Hith-Pa-El, first this is connected with the PL, and the PL is always intensive. It intensifies whatever the verb is. So even if you have the word to speak, if it's in the PL, it's intensified. Well, here, this is intensified, but in the Hith-Pa-El expresses a reflexive attitude for oneself. So we can actually translate this, I shall magnify myself, is what the connotation of the Hith-Pa-El here. And it means it very intently. You can almost hear the intenseness in God's voice. I shall magnify myself. Intense reflexive action. It more often indicates an action less directly affecting the subject. Less affecting the subject and describes it as performed with regard to or for oneself. God has flat had it with Satan. He's had it with these people, coming against his people, denying him, rejecting him, and he cares now that they know who and what he is. And this is what we have happening at this point. So it's not so much that they will know him as God, it's just, you will know me. You will know I am God. I have had it with you. And so therefore, the Hithpael is intensive. I shall magnify myself. I myself will magnify myself. I will cause to become evident. Whichever of those ways you like. But up to this point, he's not been evident to the world. They've been killing the Jews and slaughtering the Jews all through history. Well, it's now time. I am, as today so many deny God, Jesus Christ, serve idols, the Muslims, all these people, even under the umbrella of Christianity. But on this day, God has had it, and he will magnify himself. Then he says, I will sanctify myself. I will magnify myself as to who and what I am. I will sanctify myself. Okay, guess what? We have the Hithpael again. We have the Hithpael of the Hithpael perfect of Kadosh. Kadosh, which looks like this. And that's Q-A-D-A-S-H. Kadosh. Now, the reason we know this is an S-H sound, Kadosh, is because that little dot, well, it's off the board here, that dot's on this wing. If it were over here, it'd be a single S, just a S sound. But when you put it over here, it has the SH sound. So we have the verb kadosh. Now, a verb fundamentally meaning to set apart. Fundamentally, it means to set apart. Then it comes to mean to be holy, to reveal as holy, to treat as being holy. On the day of the Lord, the Lord will set himself apart from all the gods of men. All the gods of all of the tribes that have joined Gog. All the gods that are on earth. All the gods today. Allah, the Muslims, Confucius, Buddha. On and on and on. All the gods. All the idolatrous philosophies of man. All of this stuff is going, he's going to be set apart from all of these. Just to look at it again, look with me at Romans 1. Let's go back to Romans 1 again, Steve. We are in Romans tonight. We are in Romans. You were right. All right, Romans 1, just a little early. Romans 1. And we're going to look at Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, which they are rejecting and denying, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him. So he's going to say, you're going to honor me. You're going to know that I am God. Honor him as God. Give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Look at verse 25. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And on this day in history, the day of the Lord, I will reveal myself as such. That's what's happening. So I want you to just see the intensity of God here against those who denied him. And it's amazing how more and more people are denying him. denying all that he is. Again, this is in the Hiphael intensive reflexive action. God will do this for himself. He is tired of them not knowing that he is holy. He's tired of them not knowing that he is set apart. You're going to know it. So it's more about God than it is even them at this point. And then he says, and make myself known in the sight of many nations. Okay, let's look at the word and. This is why he will magnify himself. This is why he will set himself apart as holy. See, that's why he's doing it. There's the break here. And the and is the break. So this is why he's going to do it. He will sanctify himself, set himself apart from all that man worships, and make myself known. This time we have what is called a niphel. And a niphel is simply reflexive. Let's get the niphel on here. Get a little. I know this is so important to you. You want to meditate on this tonight before you go to sleep. This is the niphel perfect, and it's a simple reflexive. Coming back again on him. I myself will make myself known. And people, hasn't that been what he's doing through all history in this book? He's made himself known to us through this book. I will make myself known here. It will not be by his book. It will not be by his words. It will be by his action on the day of the Lord. It's going to be a powerful day in history. Make myself known. This is the word yada. We've said it many times. A verb meaning to make known, to acknowledge. He will cause himself to be known in the sight of many nations. They will witness all these things that are going to be happening on the day of the Lord, and they will know. Now we come to why all of this. What is it that he wants known about himself? Last line of Ezekiel 38. And they will know that I am the Lord. Simple cow, perfect, same verb. I will make myself known. This does not mean they will believe in him as Savior. They will know who he is. Just as Satan knows who Jesus Christ is, the Son of God, he still does not believe in him. Will make himself known. They will know that I am the Lord. Okay, let's get a little thing going here on I am the Lord. The word for the Lord here is what is called the tetragrammaton. The tetragrammaton. We have four radicals, four letters called radicals. Okay. This is written in two different ways. This can be going written this way, but to write in English, we go this way. This is J, H, and then V, H. Okay, there's the J, H, V, H. These two are your H's. J, H, V, H. This is one way it's written. And when you put in the vowels, you got Jehovah. Jehovah. Okay? Or, the way a lot do it now, YHWH. YHWH. This is Yahweh. Yahweh. So we can have it, and they both are used for names of God. Now, this is the word used by, when Moses asked God, when the people ask me, who sent me, you tell them, I am. I am sent you. Jehovah, Yahweh, whichever those you like. But Moses is told to tell the people, I am has sent you, and this all refers to Jesus Christ. They all refer to Jesus Christ. Now, who has an NASV? Do you have an NASV? front of your Bibles, of your NASB. It doesn't help a whole lot. Okay, here we go. Okay, you look on here, principles of translation. Remember, please remember that King James and ESV and NIV, all these Bibles are translations, and they every group of translators have something that they have in different. Like the New American Standard, it's geared for the highest grade level, the 12th grade. It's written for a 12th grade. The King James isn't even on the map, but your NIV is written for 6th graders. And they calculate who should be able to read it. But the New American Standard, it has under principles of translation, and yours has modern English usage, alternative readings, Hebrew text, Hebrew tense, and the proper name of God in the Old Testament. Now, if you have this in your Bibles, you can read it and not just listen because it isn't that long. In the Scriptures, the name of God is most significant, and understandably so. It is inconceivable to think of a spiritual matters without a proper designation for the supreme deity. Thus, the most common name for the deity is God, G-O-D, a translation of the original Elohim. One of the titles of God is Lord, a translation of Adonai, A-D-O-N-A-I. There is yet another name which is particularly assigned to God as His special or proper name. That is the four letters YHWH. Exodus 3:14, Isaiah 42:8. The name has not been pronounced by the Jews because of reverence for the great sacredness of the divine name. Therefore, it has been consistently translated Lord. The only exception to the translation of Yahweh is when it occurs in immediate proximity to the word Lord, that is Adonai. In that case, it regularly translated God in order to avoid confusion. It is known for many years Yahweh has been translated as Yahweh, however, no complete certainty attached to the pronunciation. So I just hope that helps you a little bit in grasping the understanding of why we have those different name. And the old school used to just translate it with the Jehovah. J-H-V-H, Jehovah, but Yahweh, Jehovah, both are sacred names of God that have not been pronounced, or because the Jews thought it was very sacred, so they wouldn't even pronounce it. They would change it to Lord. The Jews have a lot of strictness related to the holy names of God, and I've wanted to get a hold of a modern rabbi, because in the early day of computers, if you wanted to, you could not delete. It's like if you're typing along, oh, I didn't mean that. You cannot delete it. You have to put it in brackets, but leave it. You can't even change the paper, change the whole page. So I've often wanted to know if they've changed that at all. Okay. Know that I am the Lord. People, this is extremely important to God. It's extremely important to Jesus Christ. This phrase is used 164 times in the Old Testament. Know that I am the Lord. That's amazing. 164 times in the Old Testament. The first time it is used is, believe it or not, with the Abrahamic covenant. Let's look at Genesis 15:7. Genesis 15:7. Don't worry, we're not going to go anywhere near the 164 of them. Genesis 15:7. The making of the Abrahamic covenant. This is the first time I am the Lord. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you, I am the Lord who brought you, Abraham, out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to possess it. So this is the first time that this phrase is used in the Old Testament. God used it in the declaration to Moses of his encounter with Pharaoh, Satan, and trying to stop the whole plan of God. Let's look at Exodus 6. Let's look for a moment at Exodus 6. It's giving you some places that you can appreciate what's going on here. Okay, Exodus 6. We'll begin our reading at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he shall let them go. Under compulsion he shall drive them out of his land. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. It's our phrase. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, that's the Yahweh or Jehovah, I did not make myself known to them. And I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourn. And furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because of the Egyptians are holding them in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. I move by my covenant, not by their groaning. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians and will deliver you from the bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people. You can see why he's so concerned on the day of the Lord and the end of the tribulation. These are his people. I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. You shall know it, that I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. That means nobody's going to undo. Nobody can counter what I say and what I'm going to do. So you can just understand the strength and the intensity, the PLSTEM, intense in the day of the Lord and in the tribulation. He is the Lord. You're not going to mess with my people. And that's why it just bothers me so much what's going on with Israel and our current president. Something very interesting. I don't know if you noticed it. He was supposed to go over there and reside over a meeting, but because of the health thing, he's not going to go. Thank God. He's not going to be a part of that. But got to understand, he is in control. He's in control of all things. Now, one of the primary reasons for the miraculous deeds by God is that the people might know that I am the Lord. I want you to look at for the Egyptians to know that He is the Lord. Let's look at Exodus 14. Exodus 14. The Egyptians, He wants them to know. Doesn't mean they're going to turn to Him as Savior. That's what I want to point out here. Some people make too much of this. They're just going to know. They're going to know He is. It's kind of like you reach a point with a rebellious child and you just say, I am the parent. Whether you like it or not, I am. So this is the Lord now saying to the nations, I am the Lord. Look at Exodus 14 and we want to read together verse 4. Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them. I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know I am the Lord. And they did so. This is powerful. Now, who do the Egyptians represent? Represent Satan, and they represent all the negative people on the earth. Who does Gog represent? Gog represents all peoples of the earth following in the northern block. So this is just so powerful. So the Egyptians will know. But also the Israelites. Look at Exodus 16:12. Exodus 16:12. I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. People, he wants the enemies of God to know it. He wants his chosen people. He wants us to know who and what he is in history and in our lives. We have nothing to fear what's going on in history. Nothing to fear whatsoever. God saved us eternally that we might know him as I am the Lord. Look at Exodus 29. Exodus 29. Exodus 29:46. Exodus 29:46. And they shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. So he is the one who brings about all salvation. All right. Another great, of course, of the great confrontation between Jesus Christ and Satan in Isaiah 40-60. We're going to pick out a few things to read. I just want you to read this. And boy, there's something going on here. There's just something going on. Satan has, as it were, just pricked God a little bit, and God is letting him know, no, I am God, not you. Let's look at Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. If you have time to jot these down, you can come back and go over and read them, and just every now and just read them. Anytime you feel like what's going on in the world today, just read through these passages. All right, Isaiah 41:13. The whole thing starts in 40, but we'll start with 41:13. For I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. You can see how God gets so perturbed over the Jews throughout history. I'm your God. My goodness, I called you through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I've called you out of Egypt. I've given you land. All what is wrong with you? That's why I become so perturbed with them. Look at 42:6. 42:6, and we're going to look at 6 and 8. 42:6. I am the Lord. Why repeat it? I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also uphold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to my people, as a light to the nations. Verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, to not Satan, nor my praise to graven images. See why I get so upset with graven images, idols, and when we make idols out of things. I'm your God. I am the Lord. All right, let's look at 43:3-11. 43:3. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Verse 11. And I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. Verse 15, same chapter. Verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. So you just see our God is so persistent on this. Look at chapter 45. Chapter 45, and we'll read verses 5-7. 45:5-7. I am the Lord. There is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. This is going to be dramatized on the day of the Lord, at the end of the tribulation. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming light, creating darkness, causing well-being, creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these. And verse 18, same chapter. Verse 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the... Note the emphasis when these is his creation. You wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for me. Nothing would be here if it wasn't for me. I'm the Lord. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it. Did not create it a waste place. That will be very important. Coming up. But formed it to be inhabited. That'll come up tomorrow night. I don't know if we'll get to it tomorrow night, but we're going to study... No, excuse me. Sunday morning. We study total depravity. And boy, I got so much... I'm just so having so much fun that I've never seen in that study. Never read it anywhere, but it's just so exciting that look what he says here. So it's right on your minds. And he established it and did not create it a waste place. Okay. But in verse 2, it's a waste place. What happened between verses 1 and verse 2? Well, that's the sin of Satan. It affected the earth. Verse 2, when you read verse 2, I'm going ahead and giving away my big guns here. When you read verse 2, you're reading the condition of mankind after our sin, after the fall in the garden. Why total depravity? Just read verse 2 of chapter 1. Now, shot the big gun on that one, but anyway, I'm excited about it. He is the Lord who formed the earth and made it. He established it, did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Let's look at chapter 48. Chapter 48, verse 17. Chapter 48, verse 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who is that spiritually, who leads you in the way you should go. Look at chapter 49, verse 23. Chapter 49, verse 23. And the kings will be your guardians and their princes, princesses, your nurses. They will bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of your feet, and you will know that I am the Lord. There'll be no doubt about it. You'll know, just as there'll be no doubt about it on the day of the Lord. These who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. Look at chapter 51. Chapter 51, verse 15. Chapter 51, 15, for I am the Lord your God who stirs up the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. 67 times, I am the Lord, 67 times in Ezekiel alone. Let's just look at a handful. Ezekiel chapter 6. And the more you read it, you think, boy, God, I don't want to make God upset. Gee. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 6. We got several here, but let's look at 6 verse. Let me give them to you, and then we'll read them so you can write them down. We're going to read verse 7. Verse 7, 10, 13, and 14. And the reason I give them to you like that, because you'll see why in a moment. Let's take a look. All right, Ezekiel chapter 6. Let's look at verse 7. And the slain will fall among you and will know that I am the Lord. Verse 10. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I should inflict this disaster on them. Verse 13. And then you will know that I am the Lord. Verse 14. So throughout your inhabitants, I shall stretch out my hand and make the land desolate and all these things, and they shall know that I am the Lord. If you just went through Ezekiel and underlined every time it says, I am the Lord, it'd boggle your mind. It just would boggle your mind. Let's look at chapter 13, Ezekiel 13. And what we're going to do is take another quick run. So I'll give you the verses first. 9, 14, 21, and 23. So Ezekiel chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 9. So my hand will be against the prophets who were false, who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will have no place in the council of my people, nor will they be written. Anyway, I just want to get down. And then he ends all of this, that you may know that I am the Lord God. Look at verse 14. And he says in verse 14, and you will know that I am the Lord God. I am the Lord. Verse 21. Verse 21. You will know that I am the Lord. Verse 23. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. Think the Lord wants us to know this? He said, no, He's the Lord. And people, every time we sin, we forget that. Every time we get nervous and get worried about what's happening in the world, we forget this. This is prominent to God. I'm the Lord. I created everything. I'm in control. I've got a whole plan for everything to go. You don't need to worry about it. I'm the Lord. Not man. Not a system. Not an army. I am the Lord. All right, let's look at Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. Let me list the verses. Just so I want you to just see the flow. 5, 7, 12, 19, 20, 26, 38, 42, 44. Okay, let's look. 20 verse 5. 20 verse 5. And say to them, thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel and swore to the descendants of the house of Jacob, made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, when I swore to them, saying, I am the Lord your God. Verse 7. And I said to them, cast away each of you the detestable things of your eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Verse 12. And also I give them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, and they may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them, who set them apart, and they won't stay that way. Verse 19, I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes, keep my ordinances, observe them. Verse 20, sanctify my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know I am the Lord your God. Verse 26, and I pronounce them unclean because of their gifts, and it goes on through, and they might know that I am the Lord. Verse 38, and I shall purge from you the rebels and those who transgress against me, and I shall bring them out of the land where they sojourned, but they will not enter into the land of Israel. Thus you will know I am the Lord. It's related with His judgments. It's related with His praise. It's related with His blessings. All of these wonderful things come from the same. All right, verse 42. And you will know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel. By blessing they will know He is the Lord. And into the land which I swore to give to your forefathers. God is faithful. We studied that in Romans about a month ago. God, the faithfulness of God. People, we got just so much to trust Him and to praise Him for. Verse 44. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have dealt with you for my name's sake, not according to your evil ways taken care of on the cross, or according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares the Lord God. The fourth thing is that you know that I am the Lord. So I think you can see from all these examples and multitude of more that how vital this is to God that we all know I am the Lord. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 38. Our chapter. Ezekiel 38. I don't know how long we've been in Ezekiel 38 studying Gog and Magog. I'm going to guesstimate 2 months. Somewhere now. We've gone verse by verse. You've got a feel of it. Verse by verse. Let's just read it. This is so important to God. All the way through the Bible. Let's just read it now. And I'm not taking the time. I've got notes here for next week. But I just want you to feel now. When we've gone through this whole thing, sometimes you lose the momentum when we go verse by verse. So let's read it. Chapter 38. And the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Gog of the land of Magog. Now every one of you know where this is. This is the northern armies that are coming down to destroy Jerusalem and all the Jews in the day of the Lord in the end of the millennium, the end of the tribulation. The prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. And I will turn you about, and put hooks into your jaws. And remember, he's talking about Satan. Remember, he's talking to Satan in this. Bring you out, and all your army, horses, horsemen, all them splendidly attired, great company with buckler and shield, all of them wailing swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Put with them, all of them with shield and helmet, great military, greatly supplied. And remember, Israel has nothing. Gomer with all its troops, Beth Togoma from the remote parts of the north, with all its troops, many peoples with you. Be prepared and prepare yourself, you and all your companies that are assembled with you, and be guard for them. After many days, you will be summoned. In the latter days of the tribulation, you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste, but its people were brought out from the nations, and they are living securely, all of them, secure in the treaty with the north, with the west. And you will go up, and you will come like a storm. You will be like a cloud covering the land, and all your troops, and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, it will come about on that day, the day of the Lord in the tribulation, that thoughts will come into your mind, and you will devise an evil plan. And you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. That'll be Israel. I will go against those who are at rest. They're at rest because they're resting in a false security from the west, that live securely, and all of them living without walls and having no bars or gates. To capture, this is what you'll do. You go up there to those lands to capture spoil, to seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited, and against the people who are gathered from the nations who have acquired, as Jews from all over the world, who have acquired cattle and goods, who live in the center of the world. That's the belly button of the world, if you remember that. Sheba, Dahan, and the merchants of Tarshish will all, with all its, and this villages, but remember it's the lions, young lions, will say to you, have you come to capture spoil? Have you assembled your company to seize plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle goods, to capture great spoil? Therefore prophesy, son of man, and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel are living securely with you, know this, and you will come from your place out of the remote parts of the north, in the modern day Russia, you and many people with you, and all of you riding on horses, great assembly, and a mighty army, and you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud of covered land. It will come about in the last days that I shall bring you against my land in order that the nations may know me, when I shall be sanctified through you, Gog, before their eyes, O Gog. Thus says the Lord God, are you the one of whom I spoke of in former days, I mean days of Ezekiel, through my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied in those days for many years that I would bring you against them? This is going to be so amazing for Gog. I think, whoever he may be, to have somebody sit down and read this to him and say, you've been written about thousands of years, and he won't listen. And it will come about, I mean, you think he'd like to say, hey, I'm out of here. Throw up his sword and get out of there. Verse 18, and it will come about on that day when God comes against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God, that my fury, my wrath, will mount up in my anger, and in my zeal, and my blazing wrath, I declare that on that day there will surely be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. It's like God, here I come, shaking the earth. And the fish and the seas, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all the creeping things that creep on the earth, and all the men who are on the face of the earth will shake in my presence. The mountains also will be thrown down. Earth is greatly affected by sin, by the wrath of God, all these things. The steep pathways will collapse, and every wall will fall to the ground. And I shall call for a sword against them. And all the mountains, declared the Lord God, every man's sword will be against his brother. That's each other in the army of God. And with pestilence, with blood, I shall enter into judgment with him. I shall rain on him, put on his troops, and on his troops, and on the many people who are with him, a torrential rain with hailstones, fire, and brimstone. I shall magnify myself. I myself shall sanctify myself. I shall make myself known in the sight of many nations. And why? They will know I am the Lord. Okay. I'm sorry that it had to come at that point, because what I want to do is, if you can come back and maybe just take a minute and read chapter 38, because then I want to go somewhere else with you that bounds out for this. So we will postpone all of that until we get to next Tuesday night. Okay, yes, sir. No. Yeah, no, I'm not through. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we pray that not a day will pass in our life we will not know that you're Lord God. Even when we sin and fail, return quickly, because we know you are the Lord God. Anytime we may be concerned about history, what our president is doing, what's happening in the world, let these words comfort our soul. You are Lord God. We praise you, Father. We praise you that you are Lord God. Pray that it'll just give us peace in our souls. and will guide us in making the right decision, to always trust the Spirit, to be guided in the Spirit, follow the Spirit. As long as we're following the Spirit and being led of the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, this will always be predominant, that you are Lord. Father, we praise you for these things. Praise you for what we've seen tonight. Been alarmed our own souls that we do not forget it. Find peace when we do. Remember it. Pray that these things will sink into our souls, give us strength and joy, peace, cause of exaltation, knowing that you are Lord, that you are in control of all things. There is no army, there is no man, there are no set of armies can counter you and your plan. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.